Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. We've got a really, really, really good show for you today. So let's just jump straight into it, shall we? I'm your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is an outdoors enthusiast, marketer, and an entrepreneur. Back in 2015, he was approached by another entrepreneur with an idea to design, manufacture, and sell a powerful yet simple daily planner and journal. This idea became the Self Journal. When their initial Kickstarter campaign raised $322,000 in just 34 days, they kind of knew they were onto something. This is something that became known as Best Self, an e-commerce business that wants to own your office. In this discussion, we talk about the power of daily action, strategic partnerships, and how Best Self acquires their customers. Now, let's hack Alan Brower. So 3 or 4 months ago, entrepreneur.com reached out to me and asked me to write an article for them about the essential tools for entrepreneurs in 2017. And I did. Everything I use to run my businesses day to day are on that list. One of those things is Typeform. I've been using Typeform for almost, I'm going to say 2 years at this point, for collecting feedback from listeners like you, for taking surveys after every course or webinar I've ever run. I've set up surveys after to get feedback and also to get testimonials to help sell future products. Typeform is versatile. You can use it at every stage of your sales funnel. To research, for lead generation, to sell stuff with Stripe integration, tutorials, quizzes. I've even seen it used as a sales page, which is pretty damn cool. The results don't lie. Typeform has a 57% completion rate on surveys, which goes against the industry standard of about 20%. That's more data for you and your business to play with. Integrates with your favorite tools, including Google Sheets, MailChimp, Airtable, and hundreds more. You can also collect data through Facebook Messenger with their Typeform chat feature. Yeah, that Facebook bot madness, you can use it with Typeform. Remember, what you ask matters. How you ask is everything. Sign up for free today. Go to typeform.com/hack. Plus, a special offer for you as a Hack the Entrepreneur listener. You can upgrade to Pro if you like what the free trial gives you. You can upgrade to Pro and you'll get 30% off for the first 6 months. Here's how to do it. Go to typeform.com/hack. Plus, they have absolutely stellar support staff and their help center will get you up and running fast. Remember, when collecting data, you have to remember this one rule. Put people first and then data second. And then you'll get all the data you possibly need. Go to typeform.com/hack. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, very, very special guest. Alan, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me, John.
Absolutely my pleasure. I think we're going to have a lot of fun. I'm excited to get into this. What do you say? Should we do it?
Yes, let's do it.
Excellent. Alan, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
I feel like daily consistent action has been the biggest contributor for my success as an entrepreneur.
Daily consistent action on anything or on very well-defined sort of tasks?
Ooh, that's a great question. So it's daily consistent action on the key levers to drive the business. So rather than focus on a lot of little things that can move the business incrementally, let's focus today or today's 2 hours or 1 hour today on big levers, big things that we can pull that will move the business exponentially.
I like this. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. So the big levers. And so I guess before we get too far in this, you mentioned in there, like in the 2 hours or the 1 hour per day, like, is this something like you don't work 8, 10, 12, 16 hours a day like most entrepreneurs?
Don't get me wrong. I do work. Some people consider me a workaholic. My wife. but
happens, it happens.
Yes. But I make sure that if I do show up, when I show up, that regardless of what happens throughout the day, I need to make sure that it is the most productive as possible. And when I was just starting out, it was just me running the ship and sailing the ship and navigating and tightening the lines and making sure that the sails are right. So I needed to make sure that when I show up, I was making monumental strides on a daily basis, not things that were happening. I just realized that I'm not answering your question. So let's try this
again. You are answering my question. I mean, you're answering it with the monumental strides and the fact that,
yeah,
like there's a lot, like I think, let me just see if this is where you're going. Is it like there's fact that there are these huge levers that you have to do the hour or 2 hours on, but then there's also probably a whole bunch of other stuff that also has to be done.
Totally. Like bookkeeping, like tweaking landing pages or setting up your autoresponder or making sure that you're replying back to the people who need replying back to in your email. Because a lot of times people don't need replying back to, but there are people that do need to hear back from you. So you will have to do that stuff throughout the day, but those things aren't really progressing you forward as much as other key levers in your business.
Right.
So I would say the portion of my day that I say, okay, if I were to do one thing today, this has to be it. Done. Gets done regardless of where I am, what I'm doing, what's happening in the business, what's happening with me physically, mentally, emotionally. I show up. And then all the little stuff happens after that. You know?
Yeah, so, I do. And lots of people get stuck in that. That's that sort of like working in the business rather than on the business.
Totally.
You've appreciated the fact that you have to do both. But if you don't also work on it, then it's never actually going to grow or get to where you want it to be. You're just stuck in the day-to-day.
Exactly.
So do you have a team around you at this point that you can use as leverage for these?
Oh, absolutely. So now where I am, I have a team. I have 22 heads that work on the business, 9 internally, and the rest are either part-time contractors, interns that help on the business and grow it and scale it each and every day.
Wow, impressive. And this, like the business you're talking about right now is Best Self.
Correct. Yep.
And can you think back to who that first hire was when Best Self?
Absolutely. I know that hire well. So the first hire we ever did was in operations. And I say we, Catherine is my business partner. We hired an operations officer to handle putting the systems and the processes in place for the business so that we could start bringing people on to then run those processes, systems, and SOPs.
Wow. That's an interesting way to do it.
Yeah.
Where did you find her or him?
So we found him. So I'll tell you what not to do. So don't
okay.
do it. The
way, there we go.
Don't do it the way that we did it. When you're first starting out, you're gonna be so overwhelmed. You have customer service to deal with. You have marketing. You have products. You're dealing with fulfillment and returns or customer complaints and inquiries. You're really spread extremely thin. So when you go out to hire somebody, what I did. I go, you look good. Why don't you come over here and help us? We need some help in this area. And what you end up doing is you start hiring your friends, people close to you, maybe other entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs. And those aren't the people that you want to hire because they have their own dreams, their own ambitions. And frankly, sometimes you hire them for a position that they're not well suited for. So we knew we needed an operations person. So we hired an operations person. They wanted to be an entrepreneur. And what ended up happening was they wanted to focus more time and attention outside of my company. And the time and the energy and the input slowly declined after bringing that person in, training them, getting everything up to speed. It started to decline. And we ended up having to part ways. We're still friends with this person because we started out as friends and we're not going to let the business destroy that. But at the same time, it wasn't the right person to hire. So when you're hiring somebody, don't hire friends, don't hire other entrepreneurs, hire someone who is really, really good at that specific area that you need to hire for and make sure that one, they don't want to be an entrepreneur and two, if you did have to fire them, you can do it tomorrow without any regrets.
And so without going to your friends and family, how were you even in this process, like so confident that it was the operations person that was absolutely necessary? Because that's probably not what you were. To me, it's really interesting because it's more forward thinking than most people. When a business starts to take off, you get so busy in that business, like we've already talked about, that you kind of just want people to do those things first. And it seems like you almost did a step beyond that, which was like, it would take longer to get the operations and then the SOPs and everything set up. But like in the medium and long term, it's way more effective.
Totally. So I think of everything long-term vision. If I'm going to invest time and energy and money and resources and personnel and just my mental energy into something, I want to have the biggest ROI possible. So when we're thinking about hiring, it's like, okay, when it was just me, the entrepreneur working in the business at night, midnight, my wife's asleep, and I'm just plugging away, still grinding out, I'm thinking long term. I want to think about, okay, not our next hire, but five hires from now. What's that going to look like? Are we going to break under the pressure if we had five people working and we didn't have any systems or tools or processes? So what can I put in place where if I needed to hire five people at once, that we would be off and running and not break the system or not break down?
I like that. And I mean, possibly right now, people listening thinking that if best self is where you started in business, then this is like really sort of visionary, big forward thinking for somebody who's just starting out and their business is taking off. But this isn't where you started in business. So let's see if we can go back a bit. Best self is your main focus at this point, but you've been in this entrepreneurship game for a long time. So if you could, Alan, could you sort of take us back sort of beyond here and to the beginning of this? Because there seems to be, when we look back, this time where you've either like decided that you just can't work for somebody else or that you want to go and make something, make this huge thing in the world. So tell us what side of the fence it is and then take us back to when that happened for you.
Ooh, so let's go all the way back if we're going to go all the way back. I was in fourth grade and I learned how to create these little paper guns using loose leaf paper. And I would sell them on the playground for $2. Then Sean McDonald bought one of my guns and reverse engineered it and started selling them for $1 and completely put me out of business. That was the first round of entrepreneurship that I did. From there.
Ruthless.
Yes.
Playground entrepreneurship.
Gets ugly out there. So that was pretty much my first stab at entrepreneurship. From there, started the landscaping business at 13, where I'd mow my neighbor's lawns. And then fast forward, I always had this itch. I went to school, got a career, quote unquote, and tried working the corporate ladder. But I always had this internal desire to start a business. The catalyst was my mother passed away. I was working a corporate job where it was great. The perks and the benefits were phenomenal, but I felt soulless and disconnected. And I needed and I wanted to feel invigorated going to work every day. And I just lost that. And after my mom passed away, I realized, you know what? Life is too short to just be miserable every freaking day. And my first real entrepreneur venture was to start a clothing line, a brand, if you will. And it was called It's Not Clothing. And I developed tank tops and V-necks for college students. Well, if you know anything about college students, one, they're broke and they can't afford to eat and feed themselves, let alone to buy tank tops and V-necks. So that was a lot of time and energy and money invested to find out that, you know, it was a failed venture. From there, started several other. I wasn't giving up. I said, you know what, I'm gonna stick with this. Tried to start two SaaS companies, one for car washes, one for, what was the other one? The other one was for mom and pop auto shops. Long story short there, the person that I was starting that company with was fronting all the capital. The developer in Bolivia ended up stealing all of the money that we were sending him and didn't develop one line of code. So it was just like, oh my gosh. So then I just kept plugging away and not giving up. And then I will never forget it. About 4 years ago now, it was December. My wife, a fiance at the time, just had a birthday. Christmas was coming up and I was dead broke. And I go, all right, this is the last time you're ever going to be in this situation. Time to stop, you know, fooling around with this entrepreneur stuff and actually make it a reality. We're done playing. We are done just trying to make it a hobby. And time to go all in and commit 100%. And then that was the switch and the defining moment. From there, my consultancy took off. I was doing digital marketing consultancy, was very successful with that. Around that same time, my now business partner came to me and said, hey, I'd like to start a company, but I want to partner with somebody. Why don't we do it together? I said, perfect. Let's go. We ended up building a very successful e-commerce company using Amazon as the platform. And long story short, we pivoted that into what now is today Best Self, and it ended up selling that e-commerce company. So it's been a long road. It's been very interesting, and I've done it all. So back to fourth grade, making paper guns on on the playground is where it all started.
It's been a long road. Mm-hmm. I'm glad we get to that, because I don't like when someone listening can hear you speaking about Best Self and think that you like got lucky with the first project, which you've made very, very clear to us. But this 4 years ago in December, when you made this decision to absolutely stop playing and to take it serious, like you said, a switch went off, but we know there's no actual switch. And it's more than that, right? Because lots of us, we have those feelings where it's like, I'm going to change from today, like Sunday night, we'll make that grand statement. But then by Tuesday, it's kind of you're back to the same things. Mm-hmm. So what did you do to execute and actually make that change and make it a serious endeavor with your consultancy?
There was no other option. It was literally, I'm about to lose my fiance. I'm about to get thrown out of the house. I can't pay for any Christmas presents for anybody. I have negative $44 in the bank account. My truck needed $600 worth of work. There was no other option except up. Like I could not go any lower. So 2 days from now, I better be higher up than I am now, because if I win or there is no other lower. That's it. So how to make it stick if you try to make a decision on Sunday night, how to make it stick to next Sunday, at least a week. If you're lucky, 2 weeks later, if you're extremely lucky, 60 days later, now it's a habit. How do you do that? My recommendation is put your back against the wall. And if you don't have your back against the wall, find an accountability partner, because they'll hold you accountable for your actions on what you do day in and day out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I fully agree with that. So that takes us to now, or that takes us to at least a couple of years ago.
Sure.
Best Self, your partner, who's your business partner now, she approaches you with an idea to start an e-commerce business. Like, what was the pitch that that grabbed you and you were like, yes, this is right for me to do right now? Because you'd spent 2 years finally building the business that was doing what you wanted it to do, which was your consultancy.
Mm-hmm. I was just tired of working alone. Entrepreneurship is a lonely road, especially when your friends, your family, no one really is an entrepreneur in your local space. It gets lonely when you're either one working from home or working from coffee shops, and you can't really explain what it is that you actually do to anyone, and no one really gets it. So she came to me and she said, hey, I want to do e-commerce. Here's the thing. I like creating products, but I don't like marketing them. I say perfect, because I don't like creating products, but I like marketing things. So it was a win-win. and that's what intrigued me about it, really. It was a complementary partnership where we both didn't enjoy or weren't skilled at our two core strengths. And what it was, hey, let's create a brand, find products in China, white label them, and then sell them on Amazon. So we would sell salt and pepper mills, spatulas, kitchen and home goods.
Oh, so it was a serious pivot.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it was a serious pivot.
So it wasn't just a branding pivot or anything. It was a full on. So, okay, so you did that and you got your customers through the platform of Amazon, I believe.
Correct.
Right? And then how long did you do that before you guys sat down together and were like, okay, we have to do something to change this?
So it actually came very organically. Because I was running my consultancy and because I was working on the e-commerce business, the Amazon business, my bandwidth was extremely spread way too thin. So when I'm talking about showing up and pulling big levers each and every day, I needed to do that for multiple businesses. And what I ended up doing was taking a blank moleskin and structuring my day into half-hour chunks. So I'd be really accountable of my time, where I was spending it. I would write my goals down 3 times a day as far as what I wanted to achieve with my business, my personal life, my health, my finances, and I would put down things that I was grateful for. So in the morning, I would write down what I was grateful for, and then in the evening, I would write down what I was grateful for. So this was a blank moleskin that I would fill out every day. And I got to the co-working space to meet Catherine, and we sat down for one of our meetings, and I pull out my moleskin. She's like, oh, what is that? And I'm like, oh, well, this is how I structure my day, blah, blah, blah. This is what I know, what's going on in this business, what's going on in that business, blah, blah, blah. She's like, oh my gosh. And then she pulls out of her bag like 6 different day planners. Boom. She's like, I've tried them all. They don't work. I go, I know. That's why I'm writing this every day. That's why I created my own. So she had her framework that she liked to use, and I had my framework. And she said, you know what? Why don't we create this for ourselves, mash up what you're doing in yours and what I'm doing in mine, and we'll go and produce this so we're not writing in this blank moleskin every day. I said, perfect. Well, it's a little expensive when you want to do a small batch run of anything. So we went to a couple of friends and said, hey, if we produce this, would you want some? They said 3 things. How many can I get? How soon can I get them? And can I invest? And that's when we knew we were onto something. So we launched it on Kickstarter, and it just as a single product called the Self Journal. And the Self Journal, we used customer feedback to tweak it throughout the Kickstarter campaign. the Self Journal actually created the brand called Best Self. So it was pretty organic. And then at the end of the Kickstarter campaign, Catherine came to me. It's like, listen, this e-commerce business that we have on Amazon, like, it's good and this and that, but I really think we should be focusing on this. Like, I think we have something here that's bigger and better, and plus I just enjoy it. I said, cool, let's sell it. And then we went all in on Best Self.
Wow. I love it. And the Kickstarter was really, really, really successful. What are you doing now at this point because you have several products now, it's not just the Self Journal, but how do you guys go about either determining ideas for new products or testing ideas or basically just deciding to design one and get it like developed?
Sure. So originally it was like, what can we sell in addition to the Self Journal that makes sense? Pens, calendars, other small notebooks, that all makes sense. A cover for the Self Journal, that makes sense. Then we said, okay, how do we get out of this notebook field and how do we expand beyond that? And we heard something that was really interesting from Dollar Shave Club. Dollar Shave Club started with the razor, but their goal was to own the medicine cabinet or the bathroom. So we said, perfect. You know, like that, it just hit home for us. Well, we want to own the office. So what else in the office can we recreate or make better that helps you not only perform better at work when you're working, but also make your office something that you want to actually spend time in and not feel like it's sucking the life out of you?
Nice. I love it. So if it fits that criteria of basically like things that we use in the office, but that are just have never been touched or redesigned in any way. It's just, we just struggle with it. Like the blank moleskin.
Absolutely. So how do we go about developing that now? To answer the second half of your question, we brought on an in-house product development team. So their sole job is to create, refine, bring ideas as far as products, resources, different materials that are out there that no one else is using that they think is very interesting or forward-thinking, and say, how can we incorporate this into our future products or into products that we currently have in the lineup and make them better.
Wow. And so this has been over the last just over 2 years, I believe.
Yes.
How are you? It seems like you got all your first customers from Kickstarter and sort of that viral aspect of it and just the interest as you were creating it. How are you getting customers now 2 years later?
So currently now, a large portion of our customer base is derived from what we call cold traffic. So we advertise the benefits of the journal and our other products and to customers who may have not heard of us before. Then we bring them to a sales page or a landing page or a product page, and then we convert those customers. That's how a majority of it's done right now. About 20% of it is done wholesale and retail. So we are in stores, we are in storefronts, we are on shelves. And then we keep a small portion of how we're acquiring customers via sponsorship. So we'll sponsor events, we'll sponsor conferences or masterminds, that sort of thing.
Nice. And you do affiliates as well?
Yes.
Meaning that other people can drive traffic or their audience to you.
Correct.
But that's not a main sort of traffic driver at this point?
That's a small portion of taking cold leads and driving them to landing pages.
Fair enough. And so the cold leads are like Facebook, Google AdWords, those kinds of things?
Yes.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool. So as somebody who plans, like, I mean, this started with you carrying a moleskin. This started with you setting your goals, setting your intentions, setting your goals daily. The whole daily consistent action. That is what this is based around. This is what your successes are based around.
Totally.
At this point, with the successes of Best Self, I'm sure you still want to grow and improve the company and go to new places and find new ways to attract customers. But how are you right now, as one of the co-founders, sort of mapping it out? Like, do you look 6 months? Is it a year? Is it 5 years? How are you sort of mapping out the growth that you want to achieve with Best Self?
That's a great question. So me personally, I like to take the five-year approach because a lot can happen in the economy, in different industries, in a five-year span. So that's where I'm looking right now as far as, okay, where's this company going to be in 5 years? Because if you went to, in 2004, if someone brought to your attention Facebook, that wasn't even on the radar then till 2006, which is 2 years later. And then 3 years after that, it was all over the place. So much can happen in a five-year span. I don't really like to think too much further out past that. So how I'm thinking about growing and expanding the business now is strategic partnerships. Who can we partner with to grow exponentially? Acquisitions. What assets can we also acquire, whether it's another business, other products, that sort of thing? And then also, and that includes developing of new products. So adding that to our asset list. And then that also includes expanding our sales channels. So getting onto more retail shelves, getting more wholesale deals where instead of someone coming to our site and buying one journal, they contact our customer service directly and buy 100,000 journals, you know, something along those lines.
Nice. So it is that 5 year. So it's long, but like, especially in internet terms, the way you mentioned, but it's not so long that there's unforeseeable things that we don't even know will happen at that point.
Correct.
I like it. I like it a lot. So this has been an absolute blast, Alan. I do want to wrap up on one final question for you.
Absolutely.
Excellent. This idea I'm working with calling the entrepreneurial gap. It seems to be, after talking to hundreds of people, this gap that we live in as entrepreneurs, as dreamers, as we just said, you're always pushing forward, right? In that 5 years, in that 3 years, in that 2 years, in that 6 months, no matter what it is. And no matter what goals we set for ourselves, no matter what goals you set for yourself, Alan, whether it's writing a best-selling book or hitting a certain revenue metric in 6 months, you and I both know that seconds before you hit that goal, you're going to set 5 or 10 bigger ones into the future. So you've come a long ways from that schoolyard and selling paper guns to where you are now. I'm sure there's been a ton of highs, lows, wins, and losses. But I would love it if we could sort of close this gap by you stopping, turning, and looking behind you. And rather than forward, tell me how you feel about this whole insane journey up until today.
How I feel about it, turning backwards, looking over the past, I don't know, 8 years. I feel fulfilled. I feel happy. I feel joy and abundance is what I feel. And I'm glad that you mentioned that because, you know, it is so often that we're always looking for the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, even before just about to hit the thing that we set. So that's how I feel.
I love it. I love it. I feel fulfilled. There's no better way to sum it up. Mm-hmm. And you're still going to go on to big, many things. I know it. So your goal is with Best Self. We've talked about it in passing. You want to own the office. So we've got to talk about it in passing, but could you specifically now tell the listener what Best Self is and how it can help them?
Absolutely. So Best Self is a physical products company. We do have a few digital products that we create specifically for entrepreneurs and high achievers. So if you're working in a corporate setting and just that's your route and you're going to crush that route, then we're probably for you as well. And our intention is to make your life better through the products that we develop, and specifically in the areas of performance, productivity, and positivity. So we're going to impact your life in all three of those ways.
I love it. Where do we track it down?
Great question. I should have said that. You can find it at bestself.co.
Excellent. Bestself.co. I'll link to that in the show notes for you for when you're done walking, jogging, working out. Bestself.co. And also Alan Brower, AllenBrower.com is Alan's personal website and blog where you can check out some of his further thoughts if you would like. He also hangs out on Facebook, so you can search him up over there on Facebook. Alan, once again, man, thanks so much for stopping by. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me so openly and honestly. I really do appreciate it. And please, just keep doing what you're doing because it is really awesome to watch.
Thank you. Thank you, John. I appreciate it. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day too.
You too. Thanks.
Bye.
I'm so happy to get to bring you one of my absolutely favorite tools. In general, one of my favorite tools online, but definitely my favorite tool for surveys, collecting data, and getting customer testimonials. Join with former President Barack Obama. He used this in making data collection a little more human. And you get to sign up for free today. Plus, I worked out a special deal. For being a Hack the Entrepreneur listener, right now you get to upgrade to their pro account. Try them out first for free. But then if you wish, you can upgrade to pro and you'll get 30% off for the first 6 months. Here it is. Go to typeform.com/hack. They have great support and their help center will get you going fast. When collecting data, remember one rule. You have to put people first, data second. And ironically enough, you'll get all the data you possibly need. To get started today, go to typeform.com/hack. Well, there it was. It was a good conversation, wasn't it? I told you it was going to be. Maybe I'm biased. I don't know. It's part of it. And I really, really, really enjoyed getting to talk to Alan. But we've reached my favorite part of the show. The part where we get to go back. What do you say? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
Me, the entrepreneur working in the business at night, midnight, my wife's asleep, and I'm just plugging away, still grinding out. I'm thinking long term. I want to think about, okay, not our next hire, but five hires from now. What's that going to look like? Are we going to break under the pressure if we had five people working and we didn't have any systems or tools or processes? So what can I put in place where if I needed to hire five people at once, that we would be off and running and not break the system or not break down?
And that's the hack. Alan. I absolutely love this. I love this because personally, I sometimes fail to want to see the long-term or the sort of the long-term perspective or goals on things. I like to keep things shorter, 6 months, 3 months, and kind of work within that. I think to me, it allows me to get rid of overwhelm, but this is sort of a visionary way of thinking. And absolutely kind of like, I want to dive into this because this is powerful, right? Even when he was alone, when he was the entrepreneur himself working at night while his wife was sleeping, he was thinking long-term. When he was going to hire his first employee, he wasn't thinking about hiring that first employee. He was thinking about hiring the first five. What would it look like if you had to hire five people today? That forced him, as he stated, to put into place systems and processes so that the company could instantly expand from him to him and five employees. Just think about that. That's a powerful, powerful mindset shift that I absolutely love. And I hope and implore that you will use this because maybe you are like Alan was, you're alone as an entrepreneur working. And rather than thinking about who that next person is, which is necessary, of course, you have to start at that. But before that, just sort of getting your head around, is your business ready to take on five people right now? I think that's a powerful way to think. And as Alan has shown us through his explosive growth with Best Self, it absolutely works. Alan, thank you so very, very much. Well, there we go. Another episode down. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I enjoyed making it, producing it for you. Please, right now, if you enjoyed it, if you didn't enjoy it, that's cool too. But I would still, no matter if you liked it or not, no matter if you want to give me a 1-star rating or a 2-star or a 5-star, please, Apple iTunes users, right now, go to iTunes, hacktheentrepreneur.com/iTunes, or just look into your app. Rating and review would help so very, very, very much. Everyone else on Android or whatever app you happen to be using, whatever podcast app or podcatcher, Google Play, all those places, wherever you're listening right now, they all have places to leave ratings and reviews, and they help the show so much. They help me so much. And I would truly, absolutely appreciate it. You know I would. All right. I hope you are having an excellent summer. I hope you're enjoying yourself. I hope you're kicking some ass. And I hope you're just, you know, doing the things you need to do to go the places you want to go. All right. It's been fun. Thank you so very much. I truly, truly, truly appreciate it. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.